Hello, what is up, everybody? I'm late tonight. Hope everybody had an amazing weekend, amazing Sunday. We're gonna jump in and start talking about Happily Ever After, episode 6. We got some new people tonight. Patrick and Thais were back, and who else was new? Lauren and Alexi are back, so I want to jump in. Bonjour, how are you? So I want to jump in and talk about that, but noticeably absent. I'm looking good for Angela and Michael to be on this season of Happily Ever After. So, but we got more of Nicole and Mahmoud. So I don't know what's going on. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's very, very hot here in Florida. Very hot.
Yes.
How's the weather in your neck of the woods?
Bipolar.
Is it hot or colder? Is it both?
We had four seasons in one day today.
Oh, see, that reminds me of my days in Ohio. We would wake up to sunlight, we'd wake up to snow, and then it would be sunny, and then it would be cold, and then it would be icy at night. So we got kind of all of that, too. Oh, here's Kara. Kara's here. It's because I'm using my front camera instead of my back camera, and Instagram will not let me flip it. TikTok will let me flip it, but Instagram will not.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm good.
We got coffee there today?
Well, I'm double fisting.
Oh. How's the weather in your neck of the woods? It's hot here.
It's actually a freaking heat wave today. I'm at 53.
Really? That's good for your neck of the woods.
I know. I'm t-shirting.
Okay, I remember in my Ohio days, 53 was shorts and t-shirt, right? Like, I remember back when I was in Ohio, we hit 53 degrees, that shorts and t-shirt weather, so.
Yes.
All right, so we're episode 6, still no Angela and Michael. I'm beginning to think something's up. They're not going to be there, right? Like, they're the bread and butter. Like, Angela has always been the bread and butter of the season, and she's visibly absent. We're about to hit episode 7. And she wasn't in no preview for next week either. So something's up. It's making me scratch my head because I'm not exactly sure why they kicked her off, because she made them quite a bit of money over the years. And they kept Nicole and Mahmoud, who probably hasn't made them any money at all. So it's kind of confusing for me. I'm trying to, hey, Sophia. It was sunny in Montreal, but windy. Montreal, Canada. Okay. See, I'm used to Canada always being covered in snow. Am I wrong? Every time I was ever in Canada, it was snowing. Maybe it was just me. All right, so I wanted to talk about elective surgeries first. So we got some info from Lauren and Alexi. And Lauren, who I think is very beautiful, you know, she brought up the fact that she's had 3 kids in 2.5 years, which that was new math for me. I didn't know that you could do that in such a short amount of time. But she had 3 kids in 2.5 years, and she has body dysmorphia. This is like, say it 3 times fast. And what she sees in the mirror isn't what we see in the mirror. And we've learned a lot about this, what do you call it? Like a condition, right? We've learned about this condition because a lot of people discredit people's feelings. And I think Lauren's friends were doing that tonight. They're like, oh, well, when we look at you, you look perfect. I don't see any issue. But we have to realize that what people see, their perception of themselves is always different from what we see. You know, and a lot of times we try to discredit people's feelings, and they're like, oh, well, you don't need it, and you should be happy, you know, with what you have. And I think that deep down, how you feel about yourself, like, I don't know if y'all know this, when I take pictures, I take like 50 pictures before I get the one that I'm gonna post, because that's just how insecure I am as a human being.
Me too. I need
the perfect photo, right? Like, so I kind of could understand Lauren, you know, in that aspect. I was like, well, yeah, when you see me in public, people are like, oh, you look great. In my opinion, I look terrible.
Right.
You know, that's how we're conditioned to think. You know, we see people, we see magazines, we see the media, we see reality TV stars and what we think people are supposed to look like. And then we try to mold ourselves to go after that. So in my opinion, elective surgeries are whatever you want to do. You know, like if you want to get it done, I think that it's your risk. You know, you're taking those risks, and I'm not going to stand in the way. So do you guys think that Lauren, her mom, and all of her friends or family are looking out for her best interest? Or you think that they're just being dismissive of her feelings? Because that's how I felt.
I think that they're just they're in it for the money.
So they wanted to be on the show.
Yeah. Because they don't give a shit if they have surgery or not.
I mean, I do know some people have had very strange complications. Over the last couple of years, 2 or 3 years, people have passed away on the table from elective surgery. So I think a lot of people have gotten a little more.
The people that are going to unlicensed professionals.
Well, right. They're going to, I think somebody posted a story last week of a mom and daughter duo who were doing illegal BBLs. They were not licensed.
They were putting concrete in their patients.
Oh my God.
Jasmine, she's got one lopsided ass and one not lopsided.
Yeah, it does matter where you go, if they're certified, if it's a medical facility. Don't go to somebody's house, you know, don't go to any back alleys. I think it's very important that you're selective of where you go and who you let do medical procedures on you. They need to be certified, they need to have a medical license.
Yeah.
And I think if she's going about it the right way, I think the only person who really has any weight on the subject is Alexi. Because that's his wife, you know, and I feel like when you're married, decisions are made jointly. Like you don't, I mean, you would disagree with me, Cara, but I was like, you don't just go and do something without talking to me.
You have to, when you've got three kids and you're literally, all of the responsibility is shifted to one parent.
Right.
Have to be
yeah. Married. Three kids under the age of three or like 3, 2, 1. I mean, yeah. And I mean, he's going to have all the responsibility. He's going to be taking care of him, of them and her.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he works, but whether
he
works or not, I mean, it's still going to fall on him, which means he's going to have to take time off of work. And she's doing everything at one time. So she's not going to be able to do nothing but lay around.
And she's
already a crybaby. She cries about everything. Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm not picking on her. I'm just saying that she already cries about everything. So having this surgery, she's just going to cry about that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead.
I agree completely. It's all going to fall on his shoulders. And that's a lot for anybody to handle. I don't care if
it's a weight on the relationship because he does work full time. One of my friends Judy told me that he works, I can't remember the warehouse, it's like from a watch company. I don't know, I can't remember the name of it now, maybe Invica, something like that. He works somewhere full time. And it's gonna put a lot of stress on him because he said it was 8 weeks recovery, which is a really long time. And you know, she's not gonna be able, probably for the first 3 or 4 weeks, she can't even get up.
Yeah.
Like going to use the bathroom is gonna be extremely painful because I know women who've had C-sections, they can't even like move out of the bed. Like they literally are, because if you move too much, it could rip a stitch, like they stitch you up. And too much movement can really like remove that and then open up the wound. So she's gonna be very, because they're taking fat from where she doesn't want it and putting it into places like her ass, you know, places where she does want it. So she's gonna be cut up all over the place. Like all over, like, you're not gonna be able to do anything. So I think it's gonna take a real strain on their relationship and they're gonna really determine how strong they are as a couple, because things like this are a challenge. Like moving, somebody said redoing your house, like when you want to redo your kitchen or redo your bathroom, that's very telling too of how strong your relationship is.
But I just want to say, when I said that they're in it for the money, look at the whole last season that we saw them on. The mom was in there with the drama and all the bullshit because they were moving to Israel and then they didn't. And here we are. Talking about it again because we have to keep talking about it, and then now it's the mom's got to put in her 2 cents again. There's literally, this needs to be just between them. This is happily ever after, not happily ever after. Where are the parents?
Yeah, I agree. First of all, my bestie's in here, everyone say hello to my bestie. Hey, Kim.
I think
that last season of Lauren and Alexi after the 90 days, like, I'm just going to be brutally honest. They're super boring. They're like watching paint dry for me. Like, I can't get into them. You know, I know a lot of people love them. And I have followers that are just obsessed with them. They just love them. But I can't get into their drama because there's just none. They get along really well. Their relationship is strong.
You already know how their relationship is. I mean, like Cara just said, they're just in it because they needed someone to be there last minute. I mean, we already know they're not struggling. We already know she has a surgery. We already know she's recovered from it. We already know all of this.
Yeah.
Like, and so it's like, why make us watch something we already know?
We already know that they're not moving to Israel either, right? We know this, right?
Yeah, we already know this.
There is no chance. Well, somebody told me they put their condo up for sale like a month ago. I did see the listing for their condo. It was up for sale. So,
and maybe I'm moving into a house, like a bigger place, you know?
Here's how we know that they're a fill-in for obviously taking Angela and Michael off the show. So when they have their NDA, they can't say shit. And she has posted everything about everything since their last season.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden, here she is, and she's just now going through all the things she's already posted about. That she's already done lives about, that she's already, there's already posts everywhere. So obviously they're a fill-in.
Well,
so it makes it really hard to watch when you already know.
Yeah. And not only that, even if we didn't know, it's nothing's going to happen with them. They're not going to break up. They're not going to be on Last Resort. There's not going to be a fight. Like, even when they had their spinoff, it was really hard to get through. Like, it was really hard to get through. Like, the last season they had before it got canceled, I think they played it as though her mom called her a B.
Yeah.
The B word, which then when we watched the actual episode, that's not really what went down at all.
Yeah.
It was playing on, you know, scenes and camera editing and BS. So I'm fine with them being there. They're a good fill-in. You know, it's something to watch while I go refill my drink. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's fine. Yeah. They're not going to bring any drama or whatever. But we did get a little more, what's up, Riley? Nicole and Mahmood, and we saw a scene. All right, so I know we're not supposed to be talking about them, but this scene really irritated me because Nicole's friend, first of all, she spoke to him pretty nastily around her friend. She was like, you hateful word. I'm not going to repeat it. And then her friend stood in the doorway to stop him from leaving. And this whole situation just really made me upset because he got made out to be a horrible person in the media based on the situation that happened. But when we're watching the events leading up to what happened, this was only his second day there. So I don't want to like harp on this situation, but it's really interesting when we're watching the events leading up to it, because when we heard what happened, everybody took her side and everybody's like, oh, this was horrible. I can't believe that he would do something like this. The way that her friend stood in the doorway and stopped him from leaving, that's really what got to me. Because when you take away someone's option of walking away from a situation, I feel like that's not fair. If he wanted to remove himself, he had every right to remove himself. So I just, her whole, all the scenes with him, it just pisses me off. I wish they wouldn't air it. I don't really even want to be a part of it. I feel like it's toxic and it's disgusting. But when I see it, each one unfold, it gets worse and worse for me.
Yeah,
but we're not going to stay on that too long. Okay, I want to.
That's when I go pee.
So I want to talk about Kobe and Emily, because Emily confronted Kobe about the ex-girlfriend that he may or may not have been still dating when they got together. So how did y'all feel about Kobe's reaction? Because he had a really weird grin on his face, and Twitter is very convinced that that was a nervous grin. It was like a guilty grin. How do y'all feel about that, the way that he reacted to that accusation?
I'm more
concerned. It was because he admitted that he still talks to her.
I'm more concerned with the fact that he's still talking to her.
Isn't it also strange that when he said, I still talk to her and I just recently talked to her, that went over Emily's head and she didn't have any follow-up questions?
No.
That was really weird for me, because I know if I was in a relationship and the girl was like, oh, well, when's the last time you talked to your ex? I was like, oh, a couple of days ago. That would have been a whole conversation.
Also, tell me it's not staged when Emily's like, well, let's call her. So she's just what, got her phone number? Did Emily just recently talk to her?
I'm beginning to think that Emily knows everything about this ex, and she's probably met her or talked to her or FaceTimed her. And I think that she's probably still a friend of the family, friend of his friends, because she didn't get mad enough for me when she found out that he was still talking to her, because I've met lots of different women. And those words, yes, I'm still talking to my ex, they open up a portal of anger. So when she was just like, it just went over her head. He was like, oh yeah, I just talked to her. And I'm like, that's a situation. That whole thing, that's a whole situation. This is where the drinks flies. You call for backup.
That's when George would have to be pulling out his credit card, wouldn't it, Carl?
Yeah, like that's
to get us out of jail.
Absolutely.
That's how I know that this is all BS and this is all a storyline. So I was like, any woman, not just Emily, any woman would be like, the hell you mean you just talked to her? Give me your phone. Like, that would have been a whole situation. Security would have had to get involved. They would have had to separate people. Drinks would have been everywhere. They would have got kicked out of that club easily. Yep. Like, it would have been a whole thing. So I know that this whole situation is BS, you know, and I know that them going to Cameroon, that was probably the storyline. And then they needed something to happen while they were there, obviously. You know, you can't just go there on a free trip, you know, and just let everybody watch you on the trip. They had to have something that happened. So other than the wedding, them not liking Emily, I guess, is the storyline, which is so irrelevant because they're married with three kids.
Yeah.
And this is Kobe's first time going to Cameroon in like almost 3 years. So does it really matter what they think? He's not there, you know, and they're not coming here. So it doesn't really matter how they feel. And if they want to hate her, they're going to hate her from across the pond. She doesn't have to deal with them, right? Like, who cares? Like, there's people who hate me who are in the same country and same state. It doesn't bother me at all.
Yep.
Did you see some did you see those comments earlier, Cara?
Yes.
The people coming after me. I told you, it happens all the time. If you think I'm mad, I am not. If you think I'm bothered.
When you look at somebody and they're coming at you and their profile picture is a dog stock from Google and they have 3 followers, I can't.
Well,
I
got on there when I seen it. I got on there and I was like, well, come in our live and tell us, you know, face to face. Just come on.
Yeah, if you want to go, let's go. Okay, so I'm going to take this one. Portuguese Princess says she has an ex on Facebook. The only time that she talks to them is once a year to say happy birthday. So I want to ask y'all a question. Is it okay to have an ex on Facebook and you say happy birthday every year? Or you reach out to them every now and then? Is that okay if you're married or in a relationship?
I mean, if you're saying happy birthday on Facebook, who cares?
Yeah.
So that's not a big deal.
Are you having a whole ass conversation with them? How you been? What you doing?
Yeah.
How's life? How's your job? How's
exactly.
Your
if you're saying like happy birthday or Merry Christmas or whatever, I mean, on Facebook is fine. But if you literally calling them up on the phone and having a conversation with them, that is a punch in the face and a kick in the balls and me going to jail.
See, I don't know. Keeping an ex on Facebook is like keeping hope alive. I don't know. Well, maybe I'm really insecure.
Sometimes people do end on good terms. You know what I'm saying? Some people do end on good terms. And if you end on good terms, especially if there's children involved, which, I mean, they don't have no children. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? Well, then that's a good thing.
With children involved, there's no other option. You have to be friends on Facebook. You have to be on speed dial. Yeah. Like, there's no other option. Honestly,
that was a lie because I ain't friends with my kid's dad. I can't be in the same room with him. Don't think so. You will be getting me out of prison. I'll be in the orange and black.
Stripes. You have to get along and cope.
No hell, I don't. Says who? No, I don't either.
You have to love your kids more.
Devil's a lie. The devil is a lie. Nope.
The devil, Didi? Okay, so
wait. Who says you have to get along with your ex and co-parent? Who said that?
Well,
who made that rule?
My opinion, if you don't get along, somebody's gonna get arrested, and that does not go under the lines of co-parenting.
That's me. I would get arrested.
Why do you have to co-parent if one parent's a pile of shit? Why do you have to co-parent?
Because the child deserves to see
the child deserves a piece of shit.
No, you're misunderstanding. The child deserves to see his parents in a good light. Like, my mom and dad were divorced, and I do respect my mom because she never spoke negatively about my dad around me. Don't get me wrong, my dad's a piece of human garbage, but she never spoke negatively about him to me. She let me figure out on my own that he was human garbage. It didn't take long. I figured it out on my own. But I respected her because I have other friends who have kids and they say horrific, terrible things about the other person.
I'm not saying you have to talk shit about your ex to your kids. I'm just saying there's nobody that says you have to co-parent with a person that's a piece of shit.
Well, no. There's no law whatsoever that says that you have to. You can easily have a judge do the visitation and you could do a handoff. You can even send another person to do the handoff for you. Like, no, there's no law. I just think it's just better for the child to see them not trying to hurt each other. Just in my opinion.
But, yeah, I agree.
But it's not, we don't live in a perfect world. Sometimes that's just how you feel about the person. We don't live in a perfect world, and we can't always give children everything that they deserve. Sometimes it is what it is. Your other parent is a piece of garbage. And, like, I learned it. I wasn't even a teenager before I learned it. After, like, they're supposed to show up to something and they don't show up, but they're supposed to do something. It didn't even take me long, because when I told my mom, I was like, why didn't you tell me that he was crap? And she's like, well, that wasn't my place. She was like, my place was to let you figure out he was crap on your own. She's like, well, now that you know he's crap, we can talk crap about him together. But she was like, before you knew that, she's like, I wasn't going to put any thoughts in your head. He had the right to change. She was like, he was a crappy father to his other kids, but maybe he changed. I was going to give him that opportunity to.
I guess it depends on what kind of parent that parent is to the other parent in front of the children.
Yeah. That
parent is mean or abusive to you in front of your child, you are under no obligation to civilly co-parent with them.
No. You don't have to, like, technically, you don't have to show any respect whatsoever if they're not doing that for you and the child.
Yeah.
If you both can be mature and you both can do it and give that child, because I know people who, we're getting off subject, but I know people who have kids together who go to soccer games and they bring their other, like, other wife and other husband and stuff, and they get along. They sit together like they like each other. And I was looking at them and I'm like, I don't know where y'all were when I was growing up, but my mom would have gotten arrested. Like, I don't know how y'all are making this happen, but if my dad's new woman it would be an arrest. Well, there would be police.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to say it right now. It would have never happened. So I was like, I don't know how y'all managed to make that happen, but I'm happy for you and I'm happy for your kids, you know, but everybody was not raised that way.
Nope.
So, okay, let's jump on over to Ed and Liz. So we know for a fact that Ed has called off the wedding because he made spicy taco pasta for Riley. And then Riley said it was too hot. And then he told Riley, who's a child, to stop being a baby because she didn't want to eat the hot food, because we know that Ed is a piece of garbage. And he woke up and left Liz in Arkansas and told the officiant they weren't getting married, but didn't tell Liz they weren't getting married. So I just have one question. Why do we care?
Because when he got pushed off the wall, he couldn't be put back together again.
I am so tired of these people. Like, on God, like, for real, I am so sick of Ed and Liz. And it's like, I want to love Liz for being someone who could tolerate someone as stupid as this man. But I also question Liz's, like, mental state for dealing with this stupid man. I'm glad that they're done. And I don't know why she acted like she was hurt when he said this was the best decision that was made for her.
Because they're trying to get that last paycheck. Mm-hmm. But even though I don't like Ed and Liz, I do have to say that I have to be on Liz's side, because if someone that is not a father to my child has any kind of tone to one of my children.
Yeah.
Do I need to say what will happen? Because first of all, that's my child.
Yeah.
You need to sit your little Humpty Dumpty ass down. First is what all, you need to do.
Ed is a big baby, and he's always being a baby. So the fact that he would talk to a child that way, it just shows you so much of a character of a person, right? Like, who was that? My bestie's Kim, her mom used to say, when somebody shows you who they are, you have to pay attention. Mm-hmm. He's talking like this to a child. So imagine how nasty he talks to adults. This is what he thinks is okay to say to a child.
The worst part that I'm having dealing with this whole everything is the wedding's called off, blah, blah, blah. But we already know that they get married. So we know that the makeup is coming.
Wait.
The wedding's coming.
Do we know that?
Yeah.
Do we know that?
Over social media, they got married because it was supposed to have been filmed.
This is in July. Remember, they just had their 4th of July party?
Yeah.
They got married August 29th.
What if I told you they never got married?
Well, I mean, that would be great. But
yeah, that would be awesome. But it was all they put it all over social media. They did. Liz and Ed put it all over social media.
Okay.
That they got married.
I'm going to, if you do not want to know anything that hasn't aired yet, hit mute real quick. So I'm going to say something that hasn't aired yet. The pictures that we saw of them for their wedding. Those were engagement photos.
Okay.
The wedding itself never took place.
Well, that's great.
That's amazing.
Less than 7 days before, I believe the correct number is 5 days before, the wedding never happened. And she never married him. And she's actually living in San Diego right now. I think everybody knows that. You figured it all out. Because she was back at Encontra working at the restaurant. But what people don't know, and again, if anyone asks you who told you this, say, I don't know.
I don't know.
They never got married. So this is something that kind of made me happy at the end of the day, because I didn't want Liz or her daughter to be any way attached to this moronic man. So I was like, at least she came to her senses. And even if he decided not to marry her, that was still the best decision ever made without her input, right? Like, she can now move on and start loving herself, because you can't love yourself and be with somebody like that. It's impossible. So I'm just glad that we're finally going to be done with them, because if they're not together, there's absolutely no reason why we need to watch them anymore. Right?
I don't even know why we even had to deal with them anyway, because neither one of them is from another country. I mean, like, why were they on Single Life for 20,000 times? Why have they been on 90 Day Fiancé for like a million times? I mean, why?
Yeah, we're done with them. Moving on.
Pineapple, you said that her new boyfriend is married. Okay, so do me a favor and DM me later so we can discuss that, because I didn't hear that. And I know someone who knows him pretty well. So interesting. So yeah, we're gonna talk about that later. I would love to hear how he's married. Okay, I want to talk about tarantulas real quick, because I'm not a spider person or an insect person, honestly. I did grow up in Louisiana, so we ate crawfish, which kind of looked like sea roaches. So not like, I don't eat it anymore. They look disgusting. And now that I've gotten older and I've questioned my life, I don't do it anymore. But like,
what? I grew up in Oregon and we ate crawfish.
You did?
Yeah, baby lobsters. Me and my best friend used to catch them in the canal. Crawfish are great.
You caught them living?
Absolutely.
Oh, we didn't catch them living.
And you boil them alive. They're just baby lobsters.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay, so I had to sneak and do it, because remember, I was in a cult, so we couldn't eat seafood. Yeah. So we had to sneak and do it. So I had to like get them at people's houses or like buy them and then hide them. But now that I'm older, I won't eat them. But then people keep telling me they're basically just shrimp.
So, they're baby lobster. Dip it in butter and call it a day. It's so good.
I don't remember them tasting bad.
Yeah,
I don't remember them tasting bad. So tarantulas. So Rob has 6 tarantulas. And my question is, would you live in a house that has even one tarantula? My answer
not
is no.
I would burn it down and I would burn him down.
See, that's how I feel too. Didi, how are you with the 6-legged? Wait, how many legs does a spider have? 6 or 8?
8.
8. 8. Oh, shit. No. How are you with those?
No, thank you. No, thank you. I can't. No. No. No kind of crawling, slithering, nothing. I can't.
My boss has tarantulas.
How do they make sure that they don't get out? Like, what did they have? Because, you know, snakes have gotten out. When I was younger, there was a squirrel that fell out of the tree and, like, got hurt. So I put him in a shoebox so he could get better. So I would go get him acorns and stuff. And eventually, when he was back, I didn't know when he was going to get better. He could start walking in. That damn squirrel just started running around the house. My mom flipped. First of all, she didn't know I had the squirrel. So can you imagine you just walking around your house and then a squirrel, like, comes running up around you? I was in trouble. But, like, how do they make sure that they don't get out? That's my biggest worry. You wake up one day and there's a tarantula crawling on you. I think I might just, not even scream, I would just die. At that point, I would just die right then and there.
Well, my boss has hers in like full aquariums with a lid and all that stuff. Not in some little teeny tiny betta fish box that Rob got him from the pet store to transport home and make some live in that. Those spiders are too damn big for that box. And even though you couldn't pay me to have, no. He's not even taking care of them right. So I'm sure he's going to get drug all over the internet for that. But also, those little things spit their hair at you. They're like spikes. So if they come at you and they feel intimidated, they flare up and spit their hair at you. And it's like little needles.
No.
My boss has one that she's terrified of, and then a couple that she loves. But one that she's terrified of.
Why would you have one that you are terrified of in your house?
What are you going to do with it?
Feed it to a snake.
Get rid of it?
I don't know. I can't.
You're going to mess with it. If you're terrified of it, you're not going to mess with it. I told her, burn it down.
There's
burn it down.
No chance in all hell. Like, I am not. There's things that I'm scared of, like octopus. I'm scared of them, just the sight of them. Tarantulas, snakes, alligators.
See, I'm fine with everything except for spiders.
Really?
The only things I've ever been afraid of in my life are spiders and my mom.
I'm scared of my mom too to this day. Well, okay, so everybody was asking, what's up with the dog? Because would a dog allow you to have a spider? Because I know dogs don't like any creep.
I haven't seen the dog anymore since I left the apartment in California.
So the dog is gone. So do you think when they left California, he probably put the dog up or like a shelter or whatever? Because yeah, that's a good point. I haven't seen the dog either. And I'm pretty sure a dog wouldn't allow you to have spiders. Dogs hate things like that. They would go out of their way to like kill it, right? I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
I don't know. My boss has like 5 dogs and all her spiders.
How does she keep them away from each other? She must keep them up high.
Well, the spiders are all on, like, I don't know. I don't go close to them. I've seen them. I've seen them through a screen, and that's about the extent of it. But yeah. Anyway, so they're on a shelf.
Sophie pet the tarantula. So Sophie is badass. Because I wouldn't do it. But, oh, I want to talk about this ring. So Rob put the ring with some raw salmon on some crackers and some cheese. And Sophie didn't recognize the ring because, let's be real, their relationship is fake as hell. And they don't really care. So he put some random Claire's ring up there because he probably lost it or pawned it. Who knows? This is Rob. And then she's like, this doesn't look like the ring. And he's like, no, it's the ring. And then she's like, okay. And this is how fake their relationship is at this point, right? Like, there's absolutely no realistic part of it. And then we found out from Kay, her girlfriend, that her and Rob stopped having sex, like, right after they got married. And then they hadn't had sex for 6 months, which we have to put into the timeline. She moved out for 3 months. It will be really difficult for them to have sex when they're not seeing each other. But there was a 3 months that they were living together that they weren't having sex. So how do we explain that? Because Rob was cheating when he had her at home.
Also, how do we explain how she never had sex with a woman when she came out as bi, but she had plenty of sex with women when she was younger?
And she hasn't said anything to Rob about that.
Nope.
But the answer to your question about why they haven't had sex is because Rob's been too busy getting, you know what?
What's you know what?
He's too busy having sex with men, okay? He's getting his cheese eight, okay?
Do we believe that? Like, is that
100%? Yes.
Really?
100%.
I mean, he does come across as super weird to me, but I didn't think that. I don't know. What's the point of going through so much trouble for a woman? Because, you know, there's men here in the U.S. You know, like, what's the point of all the trouble?
Men here in the U.S. aren't bringing him a TLC paycheck.
True. And maybe he wasn't ready to film with the guy. He was easier to film with the girl because then the whole world doesn't know what you know. I mean, we kind of do know, thanks to OnlyFans and the leak. We kind of do know what he's up to. But there was no other human being, males or whatever, in the pictures. It was just him. But the acts of what he was doing would lead us to believe that he might be interested in that type of...
There is no woman on OnlyFans looking for that.
That's true. That is a really good point. The audience that he's targeting doing those things is definitely of one gender.
Yeah.
You nailed it. So do you think, he's not sleeping with her for 6 months and you think that he's sleeping with, and it would have been easy because she moved out. So he had a whole apartment to himself to just do whatever he wanted.
Yep.
This is interesting.
Okay. He's off sleeping with Tim and everything's fine.
Tim, I like that. So we're gonna wait, what did they say they were gonna do next? I think we were done with Rob and Sophie. Yep. Right, that was it. All right, so let's talk about, we talked about Lauren and Alexi. Who do we not talk about? Oh, Patrick and Thais are heading to Brazil with Alessi, and John will be there one day later. Did anybody understand the apartment situation? Because Patrick said that they owned an apartment in Brazil, but they were paying Patrick's dad rent
for Patrick's dad owns it, and they're the tenants. They rent it.
Okay. It would help if I would stop drinking so much during the show. So Patrick's dad owns the apartment, and then they pay him rent when they go out there. So is the apartment, like, always empty, or is it, like, an Airbnb? It's probably an Airbnb.
It sounds like they pay rent year round. Because he's
the way he was talking, it sounds like, yeah, they pay for it, which because it helps him out financially.
Yeah, he said we just rent it to help him out financially. So,
oh, so this it sounds this is kind of their way of sending money back, mm-hmm. but it's an automatic place to stay when they're in Brazil. So kind of a timeshare. Isn't that what a timeshare is? Basically what they're doing. So it turns out that Patrick's dad, on top of receiving money for an apartment they're barely in, wants them to also do upgrades and paint. And Thais thinks that he's using them, which, how do y'all feel? Do you think he is?
I mean, he's there for the TLC check. I'll say whatever's in the script.
I don't know. I think that paying rent in an apartment year-round that you're only in once or twice a year is crazy. That's
well, they haven't even been to Brazil in, like, over 2 years.
Well, yeah, they haven't went back since they got married. Oh, and so Carlos, who is Thais's dad, wants Patrick to re-ask for his blessing, which I think is asinine because they're married. He said no, and they're coming back with a whole baby to show him. And he answers the phone. He's like, what's up, little bastard? And it's like, why would I ask you for your blessing for your daughter's hand in marriage when we're married and happy and have a child together? If you didn't want to give me the blessing then, it's too late. It's kind of like one of those expiration date, statute of limitations situations where it happens before the wedding. You either get the blessing or you don't.
Yeah.
And it bothered me because it's like she wants him to go and kind of kiss her dad's feet. And I don't feel like that's necessary. I feel like the dad decided, he picked a side. He picked a side to be a dick. And now that he sees his daughter is happy and now he wants to meet his granddaughter, now he wants to change his tune. It's kind of late. You picked your side. You decided to be an a-hole to this man who was doing the best for your daughter. Like, look at what the life that he gave her. Thais wants for nothing. You know, she has a good life. You know, other than John, she likes it over here, right? Like, she likes it over here. So, like, I can't imagine why he needs to come over here and kiss your ass to ask you for a blessing that you refuse to give him. There's no point. And it's like, if I was going over there, I'm not going to be nice. I'm going to be cordial, but I'm not going to kiss your ass either.
Yep. And it's all on Thais. If a dad gives a blessing, the bride has the okay to go ahead and marry. If the dad doesn't give the blessing, the bride should say no. That's that. So yeah. It's on her. She didn't say no. So if anybody needs to kiss his ass, it's her.
Yeah.
Well, Patrick did ask, once again, I'm going to have to take up for Patrick this week because Patrick did tell the truth. She's the one that started this because she wasn't honest from the get-go.
Yep.
Like he said, you started it and I'm having to fix it.
Yep.
Yeah. You're right. She should have told him what was going on. And, you know, I don't understand her relationship with her dad because when we watched her, when we first met her, she said she was really close with him. Everything that, you know, in her life revolved around him. And I was like, well, that can't be possible because he doesn't know that you're in a serious relationship. Oh, Coco Puff wanted to know, does her father not know that they're married? No, he knows because when the FaceTime call took place, they were asking and he told Patrick said we're getting married, I think it was like the next day or next two days. And when he found out that they were doing it regardless, that's kind of when he said, no, I won't give you my blessing and I'm upset. So he knows that they're married, which I think is even more a stupid reason to ask him to come back over here and ask again. You know, like I asked you once, you had the opportunity to say yes or no. You said no, it's too late. Kind of like with this Emily and Kobe situation. The friends don't like her. It's too late.
Yeah.
They're already married, 3 kids in. Kobe is living in Kansas now. What's going on in Cameroon is a little less important now. He lives in Kansas. This is his first time back in 2.5 years. So the next time will probably be another 2.5 years. Y'all's feelings don't matter.
Yeah.
You know, like it is what it is. Like, I know it hurts to hear, but your feelings don't matter. These people are happy and they're going to do what they want to do, whether you like it or not.
Yep.
They've already been doing it. You can't insert yourself into the life they already built and say, oh, I don't know if I approve. It's too late. Their life has already been built. And they've set roots.
How's he going to expect him to sit down and talk to him whenever he's already calling him names, calling him a little bastard? Well, apparently he's not a bastard. I mean, he knows who his mom and his dad is. So, I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Mm. So, I mean, if someone call me a name, they want me to sit down and be cordial with them and ask them, you know, for the, I mean, I would never do it, but ask for their son's hand in marriage. You know what I'm saying? And then they call me a name. I'm not. The hell would you?
Yep.
I ain't gonna do it.
Yep.
I think that it's only gonna get ugly. I think with John showing up as well, it's gonna get ugly because John is the type to tell him, you know, he'll cuss back. You know, like he'll just say how he feels, and he has no interest in this family. He's not there. Patrick's dad is different from John's dad. Thais's dad has nothing to do with Patrick. He's like a non-concerned party, I guess, what you call it. So yeah. He wouldn't carry the weight. So he's gonna take up for his brother, because you know Patrick is a nice guy. He does try to keep the peace. He's not really super confrontational, and John is very confrontational. I feel like John wakes up in the morning ready to confront people. So I feel like this is the perfect opportunity for him to step in and be the voice for Patrick, because Patrick's not going to actually stand up for himself, which is fine. You know, I try to be non-confrontational up until the point where somebody pisses me off beyond, and then we're going to have a confrontation, you know, so I get it. Yeah. But Patrick is like, you're not going to be calling my brother a bastard. Like, I already know how it's going to go. We haven't even seen the preview. I know how it's going to go. You know, like, I can see it. And it's funny because Patrick and John don't get along at all. But I guarantee you, since they're brothers, he's going to look at it as, I can talk about this fool, but you can't. Because that's my brother. You know how brothers are. You can bully your brother. You can bully him as much as you want. But when somebody else starts to treat your brother or your sister like that, you're going to step it up. And you're going to make sure that nobody is going to get through them. So I think that Patrick is going to be needing his brother. And I kind of feel like John is going to bring the drama, because I said this before, Thais and Patrick are great. I love them, but they're boring. They don't bring any drama. John has always been the storyline. So it's not a surprise to me that John is being brought back into their storyline. Yeah. You know, even though John kind of has his own stuff going on, you know, he's with Megan and he's engaged. He has his own storyline, but he's kind of being brought in to save the day for their story. And because
they're spot fillers also.
Hmm?
Patrick and Thais are spot fillers also.
Really? Do you think, who are they filling in for? Because, or do you think because Ed and Liz's story is about to end abruptly?
Yeah.
Because they're not going to film anything together
Nicole
anymore.
Nicole and Mockmood are going to end abruptly.
Do you think that when he packed his bags at that point, that was when he was going to leave? Or do you think there's a little more going on to that? Because we haven't seen the actual, I don't think they filmed what, you know, the assault, whatever. I don't think they filmed it, but how, I don't
you
know.
Still like, got if a that's scene where she's in the car looking for him because she said that he left with her phone and her credit cards.
Yeah, I did see that. And she wouldn't take his call. She wouldn't pick up the phone. She didn't know where he was. So I'm wondering if that's going to be the end of it, because he might just refuse to film anything else. Because, you know, he didn't show up to the tell-all.
Yeah.
Neither did she. So I was wondering if they're going to end abruptly. Somebody told me that Angela was supposed to pop up in this episode, and she did not. So I'm losing hope that Angela's going to be there. People keep telling me, no. She's going to be there. She's going to be there. I'm beginning to believe that they took her out, because we're about to hit episode 7, and her and Michael weren't in.
Do a million episodes like we did with the last season. I mean, it's just, it is what it is.
23 episodes, God, like the other way.
That all that was?
That's it? Well, it was only 23? It's not like a million.
But it was 1 hour episode, so 23 weeks. We're talking like almost, are we talking almost half a year? Like, it was 23 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how long we were watching the other.
Plus the tell-all.
Plus the tell-all. Yeah, we're not, those 23 don't count the tell-all. It was then three-part tell-all, so we're 26. So yeah, half a year. We were watching that for 6 months. And if they're going to do that with this, I'm really not excited for that, because there's not enough drama going on. And I know that it's because we're recycling people. We've seen them. We're recycling and reusing. So now that we know their story and we know that they're still together, for instance, Lauren and Alexi, what are we watching? You know, we're watching two happy people navigate. And, you know, I get the, having three kids under three is hard. I get it. There's a whole show about it. What's the name of that show where it's like a whole outdaughtered?
Yeah.
There's like a lot of shows like that. People have a whole bunch of kids. And then afterward, they're like, this is hard. And you're like, well, duh. Having one kid is hard. Having like a whole bunch is hard. Like, we know. Trust me. That's why we did not do that. You know, but lots of people. That's
why I'm so excited for Love in Paradise tomorrow. It's all new people, all new drama.
Love in Paradise, it sounds exciting too. There's a lot of odd stuff, every promo that I saw, it's really strange. There's a lot of strange relationships, a lot of couples that don't make sense, you know, that I'm excited for. There's no Scott, there's no Lydia, there's no Danielle, there's no Johan, there's no Valentine, there's no Valentine. We got all new people, which is exactly what we've been waiting for. Oh, and MILF Manor season 2 is coming, which we are covering. I don't know if y'all know that, but we're covering MILF Manor. So we're going to be discussing that. And if you didn't watch season 1, you have time to binge it, just so you get up to date. It's not any of the old people coming back. I said old people. That was not nice. It's not any of the people from season 1 coming back. They're all new people. So you don't really have to watch it to see who's going to be there. These are all new moms and sons. Yes, Tina, it's called MILF Manor. MILF stands for Mom, I Like To... You fill in the rest.
Have fun with.
And they're going to be on with their sons. But this season, there's going to be 2 twists. Last season, the twist was their sons were there and they didn't know. And they're supposed to date other women's sons. That was the first. That was the twist. And, 67 years old. You're definitely a MILF. You're definitely a MILF. You and Miss Debbie. Definitely a MILF. Okay. And then this season, there's 2 twists. Some people said that it's going to be their sons and their ex-husbands. And then somebody said that it's going to be their sons and their son's best friend. So we don't know what the twist is. These are all speculations. We don't know what it is going to be yet.
Huh.
I'm excited for it, though. Last season was a lot of fun.
Do we know the date, the premiere date?
Oh.
And it makes me say.
It's, I don't know which day. Is it Thursday night, Dee Dee?
I could have sworn it was Monday. I don't know. Maybe we need to look again.
I remember it being the 28th. What day is the 28th?
28th is, when is it? 28th.
Sunday.
Oh, so it's Sunday. Okay.
After 90 day.
That's wow.
Okay, so we won't be able to cover it the same night it comes on, so we'll probably jump off a different day. We'll let everybody know what's going on. Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was Sunday. So, but season 1 did air immediately after 90 Day Fiancé last year. So they kept the same
April 28th. The premiere date is April 28th. So it will be right after 90.
So we got a week. Yeah, right after. So, and I'll set up the dates for all of the podcasts so everybody knows when we'll do what, because we can't do everything in one night.
Yeah.
So I'll set up the dates so everybody knows when to tune in so we can talk about it. So if you haven't watched season 1, you got a little bit of time to binge that. I think there was only 12 episodes in the first season. So we can jump right into that. And and then we'll be back next week for another Happily Ever After. And tomorrow, so make sure you're here tomorrow night. We're going to cover Love in Paradise right after the episode. So make sure you're there so we can talk about the new couples. And thank you guys for joining. And, we're going to wrap up. So make sure you're following my co-hosts, Kari and Dee Dee. They're tagging this video. Make sure you're following me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Here we get your podcast. Type in the George Massey Show. Oh, and thank you again to everyone who streamed us on Spotify and Apple Music, because last week we were trending in the top 50 in Canada. Hello, Canada. Hi. We love you. Can't wait to see you again. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Everybody have a wonderful night. We'll talk to all of you really soon.
See you tomorrow.
Bye. Bye. Bye.